The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines, plagues, and dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Well, good morning. Hello, and I have something to share with you. I have all these little balls. Where do you see some balls like this sometimes? In a pit. Yeah, everybody loves those ball pits. I didn't quite get that many here. We have a big bag of them. You have some at your house too. Okay. All right. Well, today we are using these for a different reason. After the message, I want you to come and write something on each one of these, and we're going to put it in this. What is that word? Somebody who can read. What is the word? Gifts. That's right. This is a bucket, kind of, or a box, but we're going to call it a bucket because it's going to be showing how each one of us have gifts. And alone, well, let's see. I see grandma as a gift. I see welcoming as a gift. I see music as a gift, and I see laughter as a gift. I would like you to think about one gift that you have, not necessarily one of those, but you think about it and tell your mom or dad and have them help you, and then you can write it. So I'm going to have the bishop help us right now, Bishop Gonia, okay? So Bishop Gonia, can you share a gift that you would like to share with us?
I'd really like to teach.
Teach, okay. So I'm going to put teaching on this. And if we look at that, it's only one gift, and it's just a drop in the bucket. But when we see all of our gifts come together, when we see them all in there, we remind ourselves that the church is like that. And soon, I think that this bucket could be overflowing, don't you?
Yeah.
If we all participate. And you know, the other hard thing is sometimes you don't want to give up your gifts. You feel like, this is my gift. And these cool balls, I can see how you feel that way. But that's the other part of this, to remind ourselves that this is a toy that would be fun to play with. But I'm going to share it with the group. I'm going to put it in that bucket because I think that all together we have some great gifts. I hope that after this service, this is overflowing. I think that'd be pretty fun, don't you?
Yeah.
Can you guys help me do that after the other message? When everybody's singing, you can have a parent come up with you, okay? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for gifts. Help us to use them to share love with the world Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you, Bishop Gonia, for participating in that children's sermon. I was thinking about this sermon and realizing the other aspect of this that can kind of be brought up is how we look at what is holy. And I was thinking about bringing the bishop in on what is holy. Did you know that during my internship year was the last time I preached with a bishop in the room? And it was, well, this is an interesting thing. During my internship, he showed up at the church. Well, it turned out to be Bob Miller, who then became a member of this church. So I'm one for one, just saying, when you retire. But as far as holiness goes, what I realized as a young pastor, you kind of get intimidated. Somebody there that you feel like, well, they feel like they're more important. You know what I've discovered? The only thing the bishop is more important at, he's better at moving diagonally. Bad joke. You guys get it? See. No, but truly, yeah, that took a while for you to get. But truly, what I've realized is how we all have gifts. And what holiness is does not look like what I thought it looked like when I was a younger child. And as I grew older, in fact, I needed to shatter some of that holiness to allow myself to be a pastor. And one of the reasons that I believe Jim Gonia was voted into bishop too, because he didn't look like a bishop. And I think everybody looked at that and they realized that's what we need, is something that doesn't look like what we're all, what it all is. That's kind of what the church is dealing with right now. Lita knows this is a tangent that I'm going on right now, so I'm going to move back to the normal stuff. On the gospel text today, on this whole scripture, I remember preaching on this week 6 years ago today. It was 6 years ago today, and I'm sure of that. I mean, today of whatever Sunday that was. I'm sure of that because I know what transpired. It was one of my favorite and most controversial things that Pastor Lita and I have done in worship. And it started on this day with this text. With this text in mind, in fact. We took the holy thing out. We took the altar out of the church and left it out for all of Advent. Now, it made for a quite celebratory return on Christmas Eve. I remember thinking that was so cool to have that starkness and that not being here and have it return. And it allowed for some beautiful themes of waiting for Advent. But on this day, on this particular day, because of this scripture, and I'll go into why in a moment, the area up here was bare. In fact, what we did is we put a card table up here for the elements. A little card table. Underwhelming. Not altogether holy looking. And some of you didn't like it. I know Pastor Lita and I heard things like, my life needs its moment of peaceful holiness. And you took the altar away and it hurt my core. And then somebody else coming up front without the altar, I got to admit, it affected my sense of why I come to worship. This was all ironic, though, because, well, that was exactly what we were trying to do. And it was precisely because of this text. We took out your sense of holiness because that's what happened. You see, this text is spoken by Jesus. But it was written by the author of Luke. And that's an interesting thing to ponder. To ponder what's what. See, Luke, when he wrote this, he had seen precisely what would happen to make Jesus' words ring true. And the reader would too. This text was written after the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. 70 AD by the Romans. And so when you hear the words here of Jesus speaking about this moment was also something that the people saw as true. So not only did it share a view of an end time that sometimes we read into it, but absolutely a view of the now. A view of the now. The temple was gone. The image of holiness was gone. What was left was rubble. The core of their holy worship had been destroyed. It would seem that their world was falling apart. And as a person of faith, they were being persecuted and living in fear of even practicing their faith. Now, it's hard to imagine what it must have been like in the late first century, feeling that the world around you was in such chaos and not knowing where to look, because the very presence of your faith, the very holiness that you looked to, was gone. It's hard to imagine living with the temple destroyed, as it's hard to imagine living without our altar in some ways. But I think it's important for us to go there and imagine that pain. Because in that pain, in that now, we see the promises that we share as a people of God exposed to the broken world around us. We see the raw beauty and the pure fear of first century faith. And it relates to ours. We see Jesus speaking not only to them, but to us, acknowledging an awful reality that sometime can be, but reminding us that a promise does not go away, even if a building does, even if an altar does. I believe this is all culminated in the Advent season and the longing for Christ, Emmanuel, who comes as God with us. Now, as 41 of us depart on Wednesday for the Holy Land, yes, that's right, 41 of us, pray for us, and we'll have a blessing at the end of the service. This week I'm reminded that one of the places that we're going to go to is the last standing piece of that first century temple, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. It's all that's left. And it's what Jesus was speaking about. This part is not adorned with any jewels. They would have been gone if they were there. But what it does have is foundational blocks. And over the years, it's been fought over, and people have died at that wall, died to even be there, to be close to what they saw as still a holy site. But now it is open to the public, and the public of many faiths reminds us that we can come together communally and cry to the God that we believe in. See, pilgrims from all walks of faith come and place their notes, their tears, into the cracks of that wall. That wall that was built by Herod the Great so long ago. One of the holiest sites still to this day is actually the leftover rubble. That's an interesting thing to think about. A remnant of hope, but also a reminder that God is there in the rubble of life as well as in the best of days. You look around, our church is not rubble. It's vibrant. It is. We have a diversity in ages here. We are proud of the relationships that we have within the community around us, sharing the love of Christ. We're proud to share that with the bishop, even though we know we're not supposed to pat our own back, but once in a while. But these words of Jesus in this story can motivate us to remind ourselves that living in the now, much is expected of us because there isn't rubble around us. But life, good life, wonderful life, but life is not about the good days. It's not. It isn't about the beauty of this room, of this building. It is about the beauty of this table, but not this particular table. It's about what rests upon it. The body and blood of Jesus Christ, the promise of Jesus Christ that God is with us here and now, and we can gather. Because there could be a day where these holy walls will be destroyed. It could happen. We know it can happen. We know of churches that have been lost. We know of churches that have closed. But we don't want that, of course. But our faith, our relationship with God, is not about the building at all. It's about the love of Christ. And Jesus, as the others were admiring that building, I think Jesus was simply trying to get them to get past that holiness that was an immature faith, ultimately. One that saw the beauty of the building and was drawn to it, but one that perhaps had not realized what was there at the foundation. Because the greater truth is that the walls will crumble. Though friends, family, loved ones will die, we do not fear because our faith does not rest on that. It rests on the love of Christ Jesus. The gift we have today is that we are not in crisis as a church. But how can we respond to God's call? How can we look and say, this now is our gift? This temple might crumble. Indeed, the temple of our own body certainly will. But now we are vibrant. Now we are live. And the oldest amongst us, the closest to death amongst us, is still here. And we have gifts to share. And Jesus would not have us focus on the end times of our lives, of our world, but instead focus on our brothers and our sisters in the world that need our gifts, our love. If in the now we are blessed, then we will bless. And if in the now you are in mourning, we will mourn with you. And if in the now there is rubble, then let's go and pick up the pieces. This is our calling as the church. Not to always build big buildings, but to always be there when there is rubble in the world. And this is the blessing of Christ Jesus, that wherever we walk, God will walk with us. Amen.